Welcome to the Coaches Pod Network. Thanks to our friends at Lindsay & Associates, we are on location in New York City with the founders behind Arkansas Quant. So tell us a little bit about how you got started and how you got into posting all these stats.
Yeah, I'll start off. Nelson, originally founded Arkansas Quant, from Northeast Arkansas originally. I'll let Austin introduce himself, but we initially met via Arkansas Discord, inside Arkansas Discord. I was posting some stats in there, and they renamed me NYC. And Austin reached out and was like, hey, you live in New York City? I was like, yeah. And so he's like, we started talking about stats back and forth, and we ended up meeting up and learned that we both went to Arkansas 2010 to 14 and had a bunch of mutual friends and kind of rode from there. But I'll let Austin introduce himself.
Yeah, no, like you said, we met on there. I go by Lunch on there. My name is Austin. And I just had a massive interest in sports data. I started off doing basketball analytics, just pulling as much data as I can. And then I showed Nelson one of my apps that I made that just compared. You could pull, players from, I was telling them earlier, from the past 15 years and just compare them based on certain metrics. And I showed him, tried to get him interested. And he's nice enough to let me help out with the Arkansas Quant. So,
how do you get into stats like that? That's just something you stumbled upon one day, or are you just curious, or how does that begin?
My brother and I mean, he can recall any stat. Like, I mean, you go back and talk about players in the NFL from like the early 2000s, and we'll tell you how many receiving yards they had or something, So it's just, my family is just big into stats, but I got into it mainly for gambling reasons. It did help with that. I mean, I made some money off of it, but I don't really gamble anymore, but I just do it more now because I like it. I'm just into it.
I would say, I never got into the sports gambling. I feel like our first little following that we got on there was people messaging and not even Arkansas fans would message and be like, hey, can you, this what you tweeted, how can I use it for gambling? I was like, I suppose you can. I think it was more so for me. Like I did engineering at Arkansas, and I think I was always just naturally drawn to numbers and excelled in stat and et cetera, and did not do well everywhere else, and so just always naturally drawn to numbers. And really, I think a big aspect dating back, started following recruiting in high school, Arkansas's recruiting, and got big into it when I was still playing football in high school. Got out, and then in college, started even getting more ingrained, especially 2010-11 with the Petrino era there, like hitting its peak and it being our freshman and sophomore year. Really just helped it get even more ingrained from there. And then fast forward to 2018-19, getting into the details and being like, what is going wrong right now? Sure. and trying to justify like everything that I've always done in life, especially since college, is trying to look at all the different variables and try to figure out why is it going wrong and understand it, and always seeking to understand it and to see if there's something we can learn and learn from it and take into the future and get better. And then you go into 2020 and we hired Pittman and came into it, and it was going well through 2021. And then again, we had a little bit of a pullback season there and trying to say what went wrong here. And then just continually trying to see if there's anything that could be learned from those examples. Always just seemed to interest me.
If you can recall off the top of your head, what were the things that went wrong? What are the things that you've seen in some of the data that's been like, oh wow, this is an issue?
For me, I'll let Austin answer this too. I think with Morris, there's instances like that, like Napier, you see. Like the resume piece before, that's some of those instances where it's some things that aren't tangible that you're not able to predict, where it's culture or something that can't be substantiated. You think about through the Pittman era, the roller coaster, we had the COVID veterans that were on the team, and they're originally from Arkansas, and the leadership that we had there. And then there's some, this is really hard to quantify, but I believe a lot of people believe it now, is some of the Morris talent that was left over that ended up getting drafted, and some of them are still out there. There was a talent aspect that Pittman benefited from early on, and then the roller coaster of hires. One of the things I remember getting really passionate about was was never like a Bryles fanboy, but seeing him go out and us replacing him with Enos. And Enos's time at Maryland was like, I was just like, this just does not make sense. What are we doing? So, and seeing that come in and not work out, it was kind of like, that's where it started to get traction, and saying some of the things are quantifiable and you're able to predict it with a high confidence level. Some you aren't. So
to like he's saying, a lot of it is, you know, it can be due to coaching hires and who they bring in as coordinators. We made an app together. We both worked on it. It pulls in all the head coaches, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators for every team in the FBS for the past, I think it's like 15 years, something like that. But it's, I created a model that I called it win over expected. So it basically just takes what your expected wins total would be. Is it's modeled off of your team talent rank from 24/7, your returning production, offensive production, PPA, which is predicted points added by players, is kind of an advanced stat. It also takes into account strength of schedule and your conference strength, and that's conference strength, offensive and defensive. So all that, you put all those together for one team, all those variables, and then they have, you know, you run it through your model, and then it gives you a predicted win total for the team. And so if they get over that amount of wins, then it's win over expected. They have, you know, two wins over expected. If they get eight wins and they were predicted to get six, they have two over expected. So a lot of that is you can look at the effect of a coordinator hire between seasons, because it's all right there, all the rows for every year. You can see when a coordinator leaves and then what happens to that side of the ball. If it gets, you know, marginally better year to year, that's good. If it's a coordinator who comes in and makes a change right away, that's usually a sign of a great coordinator, great, you know, play caller on their side of the ball. They have good command of their side of the ball.
You touched on it there for a second, some of the data that you input. Where what exact stats are you pulling, and where exactly are you pulling from?
It's a good question. So 24/7 every year since 2015 releases a team talent ranking, which it just basically takes into account all the players on the team. You know, they rank all their players, and then they just kind of aggregate it, and they have a certain formula. It's a secret sauce. I don't really know what it is. But it's proven to be fairly accurate. I mean, it's, if a team with a great talent ranking usually plays well, it's usually, you know, the ones at the top are the ones you would expect. Ohio State, you know, Alabama, Georgia. But there's teams that you wouldn't expect that have higher ratings that end up, that you wouldn't know that they would have a higher rating, but maybe they did really well in the portal. Maybe they did. You know, it's a accumulation of the last 4 years. They've retained a lot of talent, whatever it is. But that's only up until 2015. And then before that, I have my own little thing that I use. I just basically take the last 4 years, weighted the most recent season is weighted heavier than the season before that, and then before that. But the main thing, the main place that I get the data is, it's called collegefootballdata.com. This is a guy named Bill Red. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. But he runs this website, and it has data going back, I think, until 2006. And it just, he has play-by-play data for every single game, every college football game that you use. So every play has a line, and then it's got a player, you know, an athlete ID that's connected to it or whatever it is. And then you can just kind of tie that all together.
It has weather, kickoff time,
elevation,
anything you can think of. It has longitude, latitude of the game.
You're talking,
the amount of 80 plus variables all at once.
This guy,
you can pull all these all the way back to 06 or so, and you're talking, and that's game level. And then you're like, all right, you got to do a click deeper and look at talent or the players that played, et cetera. And you're talking hundreds of thousands of different variables all moving at once, and you're able to try. That's where you can start to try to statistically find the patterns, and then you can find which ones matter and which ones don't. And then you can back into saying, all right, well, what we sought to do with the coach And coordinator ranking obviously was selfish for Arkansas's benefit. Was trying to assess like what we would recommend with high confidence, statistical confidence. And we came up with the variables and we were like, there's no other tool out there right now that has all of this in one view and it has support from different sources. So like he mentioned 247 for talent composition, those guys on three and Rivals, they're all neck and neck. They're all really, really close to one another in terms of accuracy and projecting future draft value. And then you have returning production, which comes from Bill Connolly at ESPN. And then you have the offense and defensive ranks. And we used a couple of different sources for it because of what we found out after using one is that people are like, oh, you're using one, you're just cherry picking. And our goal isn't to, there's no purpose, no benefit for us to use one over the other because we want what's best for Arkansas. But we're like, you know what, we'll add a couple of different variables in so you can see offensive strength, where it being a play per PPA basis, points per game scored by the offense, success rate, because there's different, we chose those three because they're the biggest in terms of what you're talking about, the patterns and the strength of being able to predict at a high confidence interval in terms of how those are gonna help you out with like predicting the future. And once we determine those, we're like, well, we can only include so much in this view, but you can quickly see it's kind of like a CEO of a company. So you have this head coach that comes in and he gets his guys in place. And if one leaves right, a lot of instances you can see if a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator leaves, regression because of change. We've always said that. Defensive coordinators are about 9x as likely in year one to increase the defensive ranks, 80 plus ranks. So basically just completely flip it, right? They're 120th. They can get to 40th in year one without significant roster change, NIL, et cetera. They're 9X or 9X is likely versus an offensive coordinator coming in year one and improving in 8X, which you stop and think about it. You hear a lot of people say stats aren't everything. We know that's not what we're saying here. There's obviously outliers to all of these cases where the exact opposite happens, right? But 9X is likely as an offensive coordinator coming in. And why? We all know why, because building bring your guy in, the quarterback, your offensive line, teaching your scheme. Some offense coordinators have more difficult to learn schemes. So a lot of this is like when you stop and think about it, it's like this, we all know this. We're just trying to put a statistical probability towards it to assess future likelihood of a scenario occurring. And we're not saying that it's guaranteed. We're saying let's put a probability to it and then rank the probabilities and say this scenario is the most ideal scenario for us to go forward. It's more ideal than this and it's more ideal than this one. And none of them are guaranteed.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and on the offensive side of the ball, like you said, there's, you know, you have someone like Chad Morris, who we were in year three, and he said, you know, we're still installing the offense, versus you have someone like you mentioned, Kendall Briles. He was like, no, we'll have it ready, and, you know, we'll put it together in spring ball and be ready to roll. So, I mean, you look at that, like, does it take these guys a few years to get going? Like, what can we expect in year one, year two, year three? You kind of project it out like that.
You're providing evidence for, like, I'm not going to say common sense, but things that, yeah, like you mentioned, we all kind of know that. But what exactly is it that we know? Okay, well, that makes sense, though, defensively. And y'all, I saw y'all posted recently potential coordinator hires and the impact they can have. And you had them tiered, I believe, tier one, two, three, and there were maybe four or five on the defense, maybe. Go through that a little bit. So what are those tiers?
Yeah, so honestly, the first step is coming up with a list, and I'm like pulling this together piece by piece throughout the work day. You know, if I had 20-minute break here, 20-minute break there at lunch, I wouldn't do the coordinators, but like there's things I'm doing while I'll go work out at lunch. And in between sets, I'm pulling together piece by piece, and it's over an hour I've formulated an entire post. And that's why you'll see the variation in screenshots. You can tell that some are mobile, some are not formatted, et cetera. But that list started as, all right, I've got 20 names, and originally it was just last names. And if any were reoccurring, obviously that put initials in there. And then the next step was just over time, I'm slowly adding in the names, and then eventually got to where I was flying home yesterday, and I listed them out in Excel, and I was like, I got to make this look more professional than an iPhone note, because I'm getting a lot of people, you know, saying, your iPhone note, you're using an iPhone note, what's your credibility? And it's like, that's completely fair. I've been piecing this together like in between the gym, and I have the stats, and I know that it's high probability. Again, not guaranteed. None of them are guaranteed. But I was like, this has to look more professional. And so I started putting it together. And originally, I had it ranked one to so-and-so. And I was like, well, you know what? This one could be up one rank, or this one could be down one rank, or this one could be down five ranks. And I was like, I need to tier these, because if I put this out with precise ranking, there's going to be a lot of questions and be like, why is this one second and not fourth and vice versa? And that's where the wider you can make those groups and be like, put them into tiers. And you can go on methodology, tier A versus tier B or tier one, two, or whatever. There's less argument about semantics, and the audience that you're trying to reach and to inform will get less hitched on. And it's the same thing at work, will get less hitched on to the specifics of it, and more so saying, all right, I get it. Like, this group is, you know, much more high, more probable to have success in this group. There's still some argument on those that are, they're borderline, and I normally try to add, you'll notice I'll try to add asterisks or a column with notes on, if DJ Durkin fixes his pass defense, he would move up significantly. He's had constant struggles with his pass defense. His overall defense performance has been great, but if he fixed his pass defense, he would be an all-time great. And it's like, I'll add asterisks in there like that, like, would be great at Arkansas, exceptional hire, but there's always opportunity.
There's something you do is in modeling, you just call it a confidence interval. So you could say I'm 95% confident that this coach, usually it's a bucket of coaches, will be good. You can't, you know, it's hard to say who will be the best of the group. So that's one way that you can look at it. When I put together on our website, there's another tab for, it just ranks offensive coordinators straight up by offensive coordinators by PPA, success rate, and a few other things, and it gives them one score. It just kind of averages them and gives the score. It takes a Z-score of it, really, was what it does. But and on the defensive side, the same thing. So that's a good way to start your list. You can look at, you know, who on this list has been successful. A lot of the top guys, they went on to be head coaches and stuff like that. So you can filter to just 2025, and it's only going to be current coordinators. It's got an age number on it, so you can filter by age too if you want. And you know, some of it's fit too, like how would they fit with the culture? So he's better at that, looking into their backgrounds and stuff. I just try to compile the data and just analyze it. But yeah, he put together that list, and I think it's a good one, better than what I could do. But yeah, it's all evidence based.
Well, then you mentioned your website. What is your website so people can?
Oh, it's you know the URL. It's actually it's a tiny URL.
tinyurl.com/ArkansasQuant.
Yeah,
it's in our bio on X.
Yeah, check us out on Twitter.
And the top of it, so easy. tinyurl.com/ArkansasQuant.
I would imagine, with NIL coming into the picture and everything that goes into paying players now, have y'all looked at the stats that are involved in what these kids are making and their success rate? Are you trying to dove into those stats?
It's murky. There's not a lot of data out there.
And, you know, like this actually goes up to like a bigger piece of the story. The reason I originally founded Arkansas Quant was because of, I felt like in the middle of the Pittman era, there was this repetitive sunshine pumping by a couple of beat writers. And then I started realizing it's not just an Arkansas problem, it's a national, and not even just college sports, like, you know, media in general, of sensationalism and pushing these narratives and driving clicks. And I started to get really passionate about it. I was like, there's some of this that you can start to tell is intentional to drive clicks, and you're misleading the fan base into believing it's gonna be better next year. And it's like some things, yes, and you can see it. I was not for Taylen Green when he first came to Arkansas. And then after last year, I was like, all right, he has, you know, flipped the script and this past season is going to make a major step under Petrino.
Bobby effect.
And so that's like a lot of people that I've like posted and everything in the past couple of years have called me like the negative Nancy and pushing this. And it's like, no, I finally have a reason to be optimistic now. There's the offense is this. I think I was a big advocate of our defensive line this past year and pushing it. The one thing we still cannot do is there's not like solid data out there on how accurate some of these NIL offerings are.
Yeah, On3 we'll provide an estimate. But I mean, that's kind of like looking at a celebrity's net worth online, you know.
But
it's could be way off.
It goes
off.
Back to like the probabilities. He's exactly spot on. And what you reminded me of whenever I heard of this was there was a figure a month or so ago that was said Hunter's pursuing $40 million over the next 4 years. That's going to put us top 5 to 8 in the SEC. And it was vague and it made me mad. There's a lot of people that just started sharing it and getting excited. Oh my gosh. The Tysons are leaning in, the Waltons are leaning in, and then the next thing you know, the next day, all of the headlines are about the Waltons in terms of, you know, talk about Arkansas sports, the Waltons this, Waltons that, the Tysons this, and it's like, you can just see how quickly a subjective headline like that, misleading headline, is misconstrued and completely fair. Fans got excited, they should get excited. It sounds like the program's finally turning that corner and getting serious, and it's like, no one, you would just notice hundreds and hundreds of posts about this, and no one would stop and say, what does top five even require? And it's like, A&M is fifth in the SEC. A&M is fifth. Are we really about to get that serious? Like, it's is possible. 40 million? Oh, yeah, I'm not. I'm saying, like, I just stopped.
But
and I
was we?
Like,
no, yeah,
there's
yeah.
so many people that have already bought in on this in 24 hours, and it's just spread like wildfire because one headline said from one of the Arkansas beat writers, it's one of the most trusted in the business, top 5 to 8 in the SEC is what I'm hearing is the target. And it's like, did you stop? Convince the fan base, top 8 in the SEC at minimum, which means more than 2x the blue chips that we currently had, which means you pretty much got to double your NIL overnight. And that's before, and then he started posting that, well, that figure includes travel improvements, some facilities improvements, some support staff improvements. And it's like, okay, so that's not even just NIL. Like, we're way off the mark at this point. And so what I started doing, I was like, minimum how much we need in order to get to 10th in the SEC talent rank and maximum and saying like it's these variables and it comes out to reality. It's like it's 10 million a year to move from 13th to 10th in SEC talent ranks, minimum. That's has so many conservative assumptions in it. And you're like, if you assume cost of living increases year over year, put that on NIL, the fact that all of these coaches coming into these new SEC programs are adding, they're going to be getting more competitive. They're all bolstering their NIL funds. At the same time, it's like you're more looking at like 13, 14 million incremental a year just for NIL to move from 13th to 10th, not 8th. And we have this statement out there that fans are buying into. Guys, there's like buy in. We're 5th to 8th in the SEC in funding. And it's just like that's where it's, you probably can hear it. Like it gets frustrating whenever you see something spread like that. And it's like, man, were they misled?
It's not to say that it's impossible. It and nowadays, I mean, somebody could, you know, 100%. Write a check, but I, you know, just it is good to set your expectations reasonably. What we can do with roster construction NIL, we don't know how much NIL we have, but what we could do is, you know, look at what value does each position provide to a roster. So you look at like, you know, how much should your QB1 be making? How much should, you know, the guys in the trenches. You know, the guys in the trenches probably make about 50% of the roster. You're talking O-line and D-line. And that's, you know, there's a lot of depth on the D-line. Those guys, there's not a lot of those guys out there. Not a lot of those four-star, you know, blue-chip D-linemen. And that's, and people pay a premium for it. And as far as O-line goes, that's one of those positions that you need to get as a freshman into your system and start, you know, they're not usually ready to go day one.
So you know that better than anyone.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm telling you. You know, so you build that pipeline out and then you look at what percent, well, you know, how's my roster allocation going to work? How's it going to be? You know, if I need to set my sights on not only next year, the year after, set ourselves up for success.
And you mentioned putting price tags on positions, and that's essentially what the NFL does. You've got this position's worth this much money, here's what we have. And obviously, with it being unregulated in college, it's absurd.
So like you're saying, with the NFL, it's different ballgame. I mean, you can look at that and see how they pay their players, but they have multi-year deals. They got guys on rookie contracts. It's structured differently. You know, every deal is a 1 year deal, and then you renegotiate at the end of the year.
And you also don't have to account for, like, college players. They have 4 years max, right?
Yeah.
They're, no matter how much you're paying them, they're leaving in 4 years.
Yeah, there's a
deadline. And NFL, if you build your offensive line and assuming no injuries, we know that's impossible, but like assuming no injuries, it's like you can keep them indefinitely until they're 7 or 8 years in and they're getting too old at that point. It's like, so NFL can, you know, lock down contract, put performance incentives in place. Offensive
make
line,
trades.
what's almost impossible. Like, we don't have the inside info on how much a four-star transfer defensive lineman wants versus a four-star true freshman defensive line. We can tell you how much they're going to contribute year one. We can tell you that pretty freaking accurately.
How valuable they would be.
By position, by year in college, by what their experience is, by what their specific stats were last year. If they're coming from FCS, we can tell you which ones have the highest probability, like Andrew Armstrong, like Rowan Jones. We know what positions transfer the easiest from FCS into P2 based on very specific KPIs. What we can't tell you because we don't have the info is, does that guy cost $300,000 or does a five-star wide receiver from high school cost $500,000? And then you also have to assume, like, what will his cost be to keep him next year? And what's the value of continuity? Now, the value of continuity, we can get halfway accurate on in terms of like future value of the continuity, especially offensive line. We know that we want at least three guys returning every year on the offensive line. If you can do that, you're setting yourself up for success. There's other positions like defensive line where you just get athletic freaks and you can literally build a defensive line. If you have the money, if you have unlimited funds, you can build a defensive line every single year and churn them.
A good way to look at it is, like, you know, some people do weekly fantasy. So basically, each week you set up a new lineup. Everybody gets the same amount of money. How you allocate it, you know, what's going to give you the most value? For basically, if you would imagine everybody had the same amount, how would you allocate it in the most efficient manner possible? Would you spend it all on one guy? Probably not. Would you, you know, you wouldn't. You might not necessarily take the most valuable guy, because you could save some money here and then, you know, get some money here and get a guy who's marginally better, marginally better than the guy you would get before him. So it's kind of just like a puzzle that you have to work to put together.
And it is a puzzle. And today, three of those pieces fell into place, it sounds like, with, or more than that. Now, I think there was four, maybe a couple more. Can I have them? Every couple hours we get another one. But Ryan Silverfield was able to come in and flip some pretty big recruits. Now, these kids, you were talking about transfer portal kids, and you do have those KPIs. Do you have those on these high school kids? Or is maybe some of these kids out of Bryan who are those four-star ballers that are going to come in? Do you know what kind of impact they might have?
It's tougher. And something that we are able to do is we do know certain high schools and certain state classifications, so Georgia 7A versus Mississippi 4A, I'm making these up to illustrate a point. We do know we can assign percentages to them the chance that they end up flopping and never starting in Power 4. Even if they're a five-star from Mississippi versus a three-star from Georgia. I don't want to assign like any specifics to those. There are cases where someone from Georgia 7A as a three-star recruit is 80% more likely to have a successful career than a four-star from, I don't know, Mississippi. And again, it kind of goes back to the common sense thing. There got to be a point, and it's still, I think, a common myth, but it's healing, is that, yes, Mississippi does put out more per capita talent than Arkansas in football. And I think that it was following an era of success, following Hugh Freeze and Saban recruiting a lot from Mississippi, being right there on the border with them, and LSU recruiting from Mississippi. And a lot of them started flopping, a lot. A very high volume of the blue chips from Mississippi. And if you think about it, it's like the biggest high school in Mississippi gets smoked every single time it plays a high school from another large state that's a Texas or Georgia or Florida. Or one of the Carolinas high schools, they get smoked because, like, it's just the level of competition between those is not remotely the same. That's the theory. There's like no way to really prove that. It makes sense. And then you get down to like an Arkansas TA 2A versus a Texas 4A, you know, three star. It's like, it's not perfect. No stats are perfect. This is all probabilities. But yes, you're able to assign that. There are value opportunities. Polynesian offensive linemen from Utah, California, Washington, Hawaii overperform versus, like, they're one of the highest performing versus their high school evals.
It's true.
There's other ones like that. We don't want to share all of them. Like, there's data behind these, and there's really specific position combos.
Yeah, like the running back we picked up. Running backs, typically, you can hit on them. If, you know, four-star, one of those freshman guys, a lot of the times, those grades, those 24/7 grades on running backs, they're usually pretty accurate. I mean, it's harder to evaluate a guy like an O-lineman.
QBs from California are by far like the best.
And I think we picked up a running back today.
We have theories on why they're really D-linemen, hard to prove.
Freaks, the freak list. I mean, the guys who were rated, one of the guys we picked up, I think is one of our highest rated guys we've had since like 2022 or something like that. And he's a D-lineman. And those are hard to come by. Those D-linemen, they usually get snatched up by Alabama, Georgia, you know. So that's a big win.
Big win today. And from what I've, on the way over here, got a couple phone calls and texts. I think there's going to be some more coming down the pipe. It's an exciting. It's almost a complete 180 from the yesterday's social media, and today's is bright spot behind the clouds.
I think people have, once they saw some of those names come across, I think all my group chats have, they were a little skeptical at first, but I think they're on board now.
I think this is the most fascinating part of college football, that when you're coaching and you're recruiting and you're in the middle of all these things, you do look at this, but you don't have time to study it and break it down like you guys have. And you talked about it, putting it in a way, in a format that is presentable, it gives you credibility, but also is understandable, and where a coach can break this down. Okay, well, this is the right path forward. What is your next step with what do you want Arkansas Quant to become? Because I think what you guys are building is extremely valuable. And, whenever that information is presented in the right way to the right people, you can have a large impact.
Yeah. You know, like we said earlier, we do this for fun right now. There is value to it, though, like you said, especially to programs. You know, if you talk about a search firm who doesn't want to have to go and compile all these, if they're looking for a head coach or whatever, you know, they can just be able to filter, you know, what kind of guy are they looking for that can give them success at whatever level. So, you know, you could provide that as a service to a program, to a headhunter search firm looking for coaches. You know, people like to go on there and look and, you know, sell some ads on there. That's, you know, there's websites I've been going on, Sports Reference. They've probably made a bunch off me. You know, I just love checking out stats. So people have fun with it. I mean,
there's a monetary aspect. It was originally started to inform Arkansas fans, you know, not to, like, there's to just be wary of those kind of headlines like top 5 to 8 in SEC. And then I got more passionate about it. I was like, there's a lot of fan bases that are out there, you know, like, that are just continually this depressing cycle of getting their hopes up when they should have never, and raising the standard, saying, hey, we want accountability from our admin. They're in these public universities, and we want more accountability from them. We want more accountability from the media to stop misleading some of the fan base. And it's more accountability from everybody. So getting accountability within the fan base, the media, the players, the coaches, there's ones out there that don't need it, obviously. So that's, like, I think about the long-term goal. It's like, I want the fan base, ours first and foremost, but there's a lot of fan bases out there that can see the benefit of a lot of misunfortunate optimism can be predicted. And it's once you predict it, and not all of it, once you can predict some pieces of it, is to say, like, hey, this is unacceptable. Like, you're not doing your due diligence. And not everything's due diligence. You mentioned it. We've never claimed to be able to scout talent ever. And Eric Mateos is one of the great ones that we chat with him a lot. He has called my bluff many times on some of the stats. He's like, you know, like, hey, this doesn't make sense. This does make sense. He's like, you can really help funnel down and help his, you know, focus. Stats will never be the one all.
It doesn't beat the eye test sometimes, you know, that's what they say. But, you know, we try to, if if you get enough stats, you can have a good idea and then let someone else go.
So you
go find the guys.
You asked about like high school versus transfer. We are, you know, the stats available for a kid in the transfer portal, and he's started for 2 years. It just significantly increases our confidence in being able to predict his future. Again, going back to if he's coming from FCS, JUCO, G5 versus P4, and then you can get even more granular than that based on the environmental factors, right? So I think the next phase is just continuing to inform our fan base and try to help out where we can.
Yeah. Well, y'all do a hell of a job. And even if it is for fun, that's still a great answer. Y'all do a great job. And I think that there's going to be a lot of, if you continue to do what you're doing now, I think there's going to be a lot of people start looking y'all's direction at some of these numbers because they are fun to follow. And it's very interesting. Yeah, you mentioned Coach Mateos getting involved because I would imagine they do. I imagine that there's a lot of discussion about and the BI test versus stats and where I would imagine quite often they do align and things like that. But yeah, we can do this again. You sit down, because I think we can talk about this for hours.
Oh, yeah,
I'll really dive into this.
Appreciate you having us on.
No, hey, thanks for going on for
sure. Come back up to New York.
New York's fantastic. Yeah. We'll definitely. That's an excuse to come back up. Awesome. Well, thanks again. This has been the Coach's Spot.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother.